He wasn't just a singer, he was a prophet wrapped in melody. From a child abandoned by industry to a voice that called down Jah's light, Garnet Silk sang like salvation. But in a flash of fire, Jamaica's most anointed voice was silenced. This is not just the story of a man. This is the resurrection of a legacy they thought the flames could consume. If you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform now, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Roots in the hills of Manchester. The morning sun broke gently over the hills of Manchester Parish, Jamaica. Not yet fierce, but already hinting at the weight it would carry by noon. In a modest home tucked into the countryside near Hatfield, a boy named Garnet Damian Smith came into the world on April 2, 1966. Born into poverty, but not silence, his entrance was marked by the quiet rhythm of rural life. Goats calling in the distance, the clang of a coal pot lid, and the low hum of radio static playing roots reggae through tin speakers. Music was in the soil, in the wood of the houses, in the patois-laced laughter of the community. His mother, Ediga Gray, worked hard to keep food on the table. Garnet never knew much comfort, but what he lacked in wealth, he found in spirit. From an early age, he showed signs of something deeper, an intensity, a softness, and a kind of curiosity that didn't belong to most boys raised among zinc roof homes and unpredictable futures. Jamaica in the late 1960s was a nation in flux. It had claimed its independence from Britain just 4 years earlier. But the shadows of colonialism still lingered, in the economy, in the justice system, and even in the entertainment industry. For the young Garnet, the promise of a new Jamaican identity stirred something sacred, even if he couldn't yet put it into words. His household was filled with sound, from ska and rocksteady on the radio, to the gospel and folk songs sung by neighbors in the yard. But it wasn't until the teenage Garnet began frequenting local dances and sound clashes that the fire truly ignited. Inspired by the lyrical giants of the time, like Burning Spear, Bob Marley, and Big Youth, he felt the magnetic pull of the stage, of expression of the mic. And yet, his first steps weren't those of a singer. No, he came into the scene as a DJ, under the moniker Little Bimbo. With a sharp tongue and rhythmic flow, he rode the rhythms of local sound systems, quickly gaining a reputation for his energetic delivery. His style was raw, clever, and fearless. In the dancehall circuits of Clarendon and Manchester, the name Little Bimbo carried heat. But something didn't sit right. Beneath the bravado and crowd-pleasing chants, Garnet knew he was only scratching the surface of his calling. The dancehall world, fast, aggressive, sometimes shallow, wasn't enough. His voice, his real voice, yearned to sing. To speak to the soul, not just the waistline. He began to feel the conflict between commercial popularity and spiritual purpose. It was a chance meeting with a local producer, Tony Rebel, a devout Rastafarian and lyrical firebrand himself, that began to shift Garnet's direction. Tony heard something deeper in Garnet's vocal timbre, a voice not meant just for toasting, but for testifying. Together, they began to work on a transformation, away from the brashness of Little Bimbo and toward the sacred power of Garnet Silk. The name itself, Silk, was born out of irony and prophecy. His friends would joke about the contrast between his smooth singing voice and his shy, soft-spoken nature. But as that voice began to mature, sweet yet commanding, gentle yet full of conviction, the name took on spiritual weight. It wasn't just silk for texture. It was silk for message, for resistance wrapped in love. By the early 1990s, Garnet had fully committed to his spiritual awakening. Embracing the teachings of Rastafari, he grew his locks, studied scripture, and began to channel his faith through his music. In a country dominated by fast-paced dancehall and politically charged violence, Garnet's new message felt like cool water on a burning tongue. Songs like Zion in a Vision, Thank You Jah, and Hello Mama Africa would soon emerge, hymns for a people hungry for healing. But in this first chapter, we return to the hills, to the fire before the flame. Before Garnet Silk filled stadiums and stirred souls, he was a barefoot boy walking through Manchester, humming to himself, dreaming of a stage he couldn't yet see. His voice was still unformed, but destiny already knew its tune. What he didn't know was that the very forces pulling him toward greatness, music, spirit, legacy, would one day place him at the center of a tragedy that would shock the island and etch his name forever into the annals of Caribbean history. The Silk emerges. By the dawn of the 1990s, Jamaica's musical landscape had become a battlefield. Dancehall was the reigning king, raw, unfiltered, and electrified by the rise of artists who brought swagger, sexuality, and street realism to every bar. But amid the boom rhythms and gunman lyrics, a quiet yearning stirred across the island, for something gentler, something rooted, something spiritual. Into that hunger stepped a man who had walked away from the spotlight of hype to follow a deeper light, Garnet Silk. Now going by his real name, Garnet began to emerge not as a DJ, but as a vocalist of startling emotional power. His voice, honeyed yet strong, trembling with righteousness, seemed to bypass the ears and go straight to the heart. And more than that, it carried a message of return, return to roots, return to Africa, return to the Most High. His collaboration with Tony Rebel became more than just music, it was a declaration. Together, they formed a spiritual brotherhood grounded in Rastafari and musical upliftment. Tony introduced Garnet to the legendary producer Courtney Cole of Roof International, and soon, the magic began to manifest in studio sessions that felt more like meditations than recordings. The first breakout moment came with Mama, a tender, aching tribute to motherhood and unconditional love. It was unlike anything else on the airwaves. In a time when lyrics were focused on dominance and desire, Garnet came through with purity and gratitude. The people listened and wept. That song alone cemented him as a voice of conscience in a sea of chaos. But he wasn't finished. Not even close. In 1992, Garnet Silk released the album It's Growing Through VP Records. What followed was nothing short of a revolution. Tracks like Hello Mama Africa, Zion in a Vision, and Thank You Jah became instant classics, played across the diaspora from Trenchtown to Toronto. His themes were consistent, divine love, black consciousness, and spiritual upliftment. The melodies were rich, carried by horns and Nyabingi drums, echoing deep into the souls of Rastafarians and ordinary Jamaicans alike. He didn't perform. He ministered. On stage, Garnet Silk radiated humility and fire all at once. Clad in loose-fitting garbs, eyes closed, arms lifted toward the heavens, he was often seen crying mid-performance, overcome by the presence of Jah, by the power of the moment. Fans didn't just hear him, they felt him. And in those moments, arenas transformed into sanctuaries. The press dubbed him the new Marley, a comparison he both respected and resisted. Garnet wasn't trying to be the next anyone. He was trying to be obedient to his calling. And his calling was urgent. Jamaica was bleeding. The island had become a hotspot for political warfare, economic instability, and youth disillusionment. Gang violence surged. Poverty crushed the dreams of thousands. The education system buckled. And yet there was Garnet Silk, a lone voice rising above the noise, reminding people of their worth, their roots, their power. He wasn't afraid to confront the darkness, but he always carried light. In interviews, he spoke softly, often quoting scripture. He didn't boast. He didn't chase fame. In fact, he often turned down appearances that didn't align with his values. He believed music was a weapon of change, not just a product. He lived that belief, recording tirelessly, always focused on quality, always driven by spirit. Behind the scenes, his family grew. He became a father and embraced his role as a provider and spiritual guide. He would often bring his children to studio sessions, humming lullabies between takes, offering prayer before pressing record. The studio was not just a workplace, it was a temple. But fame has a strange way of accelerating destiny. By late 1994, Garnet Silk was preparing for what many believed would be a global explosion. Plans were in place for an international tour. Major labels were circling. He had just recorded several unreleased tracks that hinted at a new musical evolution. Deeper, more layered, more powerful. And then, everything changed. In the quiet hills of Mandeville, destiny prepared to strike. A tragic fire. A moment of heartbreak. But that's for another chapter. Here, in Chapter 2, we bear witness to the full blooming of Garnet Silk. Not just as a singer, but as a spiritual warrior, as a cultural bridge, as a son of Jamaica who chose message over money and faith over fame. In a world filled with noise, Garnet Silk became the silence that made people listen. Flames in the Hills, the day the music stopped. December 9th, 1994. The sun had long set over Mandeville's cool hills. The night air was crisp, unusually still, as if the world itself were holding its breath. Inside a modest family home, Garnet Silk was spending time with his mother, Ediga Gray, and his brothers. There was laughter, familiarity, comfort. It was the first time in weeks that Garnet, a man now in constant demand, could just be a son, a brother, a soul at ease. He had recently returned from Kingston, where he was working on what many believed would be his crossover masterpiece, a new body of work intended to bridge the local with the global. There was talk of collaborations with international acts. There were major US labels calling. But for now, Garnett was focused on two things, his family and his faith. His spirituality had deepened in recent months. Friends and collaborators said he had become quieter, more introspective. He spoke often about divine purpose, about protection, about legacy. He believed he was being called to something higher, not just in music, but in mission. But fate, cruel and sudden, had its own plan. Earlier that week, Garnett had obtained a licensed firearm for home protection. There had been growing security concerns for artists, especially those with political or spiritual influence. Garnett, though reluctant, agreed to keep a weapon at home. Ironically, he was uncomfortable with it. His message had always been peace, spiritual warfare, not violence. According to reports, Garnett was showing his brothers how to operate the weapon when something went terribly wrong. The gun accidentally discharged, striking a propane tank. Within moments, a fire erupted, violent, hungry, merciless. The blaze tore through the house like judgment. Neighbors heard the explosion and rushed to the scene. Flames lit the hillside like a false sunrise. Garnett managed to escape the initial burst, coughing and staggering through the smoke. But then the unthinkable. He realized his mother was still inside, and he went back in. Let that moment linger. A man who had sung to millions, who was days away from changing the global face of reggae, who had walked away from Babylon's system to speak only truth and light, ran back into a burning home, not for fame, not for survival, but for love. The flames did not forgive. Garnett Silk and his mother perished in that fire. The hillside that had once echoed with his songs now echoed with sirens and cries. The voice of Jamaica, the man they called a prophet, was gone. He was 28 years old. The news stunned the island. Radio stations stopped regular programming to play his music nonstop. In communities from Kingston to Montego Bay, people wept openly in the streets. Rastafarian elders declared a time of mourning. Dancehall artists, even those who had clashed with Garnett's message, fell silent. Jamaica, in all its complexity and chaos, had lost not just a star, but a soul. At his funeral, thousands came. Musicians, politicians, farmers, children. No title mattered that day. People sang his songs like prayers. They raised their fists and wept. And as his body was lowered into the earth, a wind swept across the hills, as if even the land mourned. The silence that followed was unbearable. Not just because of his absence, but because of what could have been. Garnett Silk had barely begun. There were whispers. Why did Jah take him so early? Why now, when his voice was needed more than ever? Some said it was martyrdom. Others, tragedy. But all agreed, the fire had stolen something irreplaceable. In the weeks that followed, his unreleased songs were recovered from the studio. When played, they revealed a man even more evolved, more fearless, more transcendent. One track, recorded just days before his death, featured a line that now felt like prophecy. If I should go tomorrow, let the message remain. And it did. Though the fire took Garnett Silk's body, it could not touch his legacy. His voice, silky, raw, divine, continues to rise from ashes, reminding a broken world that there is beauty in faith, strength in softness, and courage in returning for the ones you love. The prophet who remains, legacy, revival, and the spirit of Garnett Silk. Death, for most artists, draws a curtain on their work. But for Garnett Silk, it pulled back the veil. In the aftermath of his tragic passing, his voice, immortalized on vinyl, cassette, and memory, grew louder. He became more than a reggae singer. He became a symbol. To the people of Jamaica, he was not just Garnett. He was the silk voice of Zion, a man who refused to conform, who turned his back on fame's fleeting glow to walk a road of spirit and truth. His death, sudden and agonizing, became a kind of gospel. And like all gospels, it lived on through testimony. Radio stations continued to spin his records daily, not out of pity, but necessity. Songs like It's Growing, Kingly Character, and Place in Your Heart felt even more potent posthumously. Each lyric now carried the weight of his absence and the eeriness of foresight. Jah Jah is watching us from a distance. Where do I go from here? Please, Jah, show me. These weren't just verses. They were echoes. Internationally, the world was just beginning to catch on. In the UK and across Europe, Garnet's albums began charting in reggae compilations and conscious music playlists. African countries, particularly in the Rastafarian enclaves of Ethiopia and Ghana, adopted his music like scripture. In North America, where reggae often struggled to penetrate beyond Bob Marley, Garnet Silk's message carved a sacred niche. For Jamaican youth raised on his voice, Garnet became the standard of purity in an increasingly commercialized industry. At a time when slackness, hypersexual and violent lyrics dominated dancehall, Silk offered a different model, one of reverence, discipline, and love. Even those who didn't walk the Rasta path found something magnetic in his sincerity. His posthumous influence birthed a generation of spiritual roots revivalists. Luciano, Ja Cure, Richie Spice, Terrace Riley, and Chronix would all, at different points, cite Garnet Silk as either a direct influence or spiritual predecessor. His style, both vocal and philosophical, had opened a new lane in reggae, one where righteousness and rhythm could coexist. Labels released posthumous albums, Give I Strength and The Definitive Collection, among others, offering unreleased material and studio demos that, even in their raw state, sounded divinely guided. Bootlegs and dubplates circulated through sound systems from Trenchtown to Tokyo, keeping the fire alive. And then came his son. Garnet Smith Jr., known artistically as Garnet Silk Jr., emerged in the 2010s bearing not just the name, but the tone, the spirit, and the mission of his father. Though he faced immense pressure, Garnet Jr. took to the mic with grace, choosing not to mimic but to honor. His songs, rooted in righteousness, heritage, and love, echoed the same vibration that once silenced crowds in the early 90s. In interviews, he spoke of dreams where his father appeared, of the burden and the blessing of carrying the silk mantle, and of the duty to finish what was started. Garnet Silk's legacy also found home in academia and cultural memory. Scholars began dissecting his lyrics as Afro-Caribbean theological texts. Documentaries emerged. Reggae symposiums held panels on his impact. And fans, now adults who once heard his songs from dusty radios, introduced their children to the man who sang like salvation. In physical space, tributes were built, murals in Mandeville and Kingston, album reissues, and even street dedications. But it was the emotional infrastructure of Jamaica that held his memory most sacred. Ask a taxi driver, a street vendor, a farmer, and they'll tell you what Garnet meant. He wasn't just music. He was moral compass. He was what Jamaica could be, if only we listened more to spirit than to spectacle. And so, from the ashes of tragedy, a legacy was reborn, not in body, but in sound. Not in stage lights, but in the quiet moment when someone presses play and hears that trembling, sacred voice call out across time. Oh Ja, I thank you. Silk in the blood, the next generation, and the future of conscious reggae. Years after the fire, long after the headlines faded and the smoke cleared from Mandeville skies, the name Garnet Silk still carried a vibration that trembled through the soul of reggae music. His death had silenced his voice, but not the frequency. That frequency began to echo through others. And in time, it found a home in his own bloodline. Garnet Silk Jr., born just before his father's untimely passing, was left with only stories, photographs, and sound, relics of a man whose music had become spiritual scripture across Jamaica and the diaspora. Raised in the weighty shadow of legacy, Garnet Jr. did not rush to the mic. He studied first, observed, understood what his father's name meant, not just musically, but culturally. There was no shortcut, no gimmick, only mission. His debut performances were humble, local stages, tribute concerts, roots festivals. And yet, from the moment his voice rang out, smooth but firm, with that unmistakable tone, audiences felt something they hadn't in decades. It wasn't imitation. It was inheritance. A continuation of a flame thought extinguished. Garnet Jr. chose to walk the same path, not for fame, but for message. Like his father, he aligned with conscious reggae, with Rastafari teachings, and with the notion that music must serve the people. His lyrics called for unity, upliftment, healing. And he did it not under the pressure of filling Garnet Silk's shoes, but by planting his own footsteps in the same soil. But the landscape had changed. The 2010s and 2020s saw a dancehall culture dominated by new sonic directions, trap-inspired rhythms, digital auto-tuned vocals, and increasingly materialistic lyrics. The youth were tuned into different frequencies, hustle, hype, heat. But even in that world, there was a quiet countercurrent. And Garnet Silk Jr. became one of its leaders. He wasn't alone. a full-blown roots reggae revival was underway, fueled by artists like Chronix, Protoge, Kabaka Pyramid, Jesse Royal, and Lila Ike. These artists, all born after Garnet Silk's heyday, had grown up hearing his voice as both lullaby and battle cry. Many cited him as the spark that lit their artistic journey. Together, they formed a cultural resistance, not against modernity, but against emptiness. And in their concerts, interviews, and lyrics, the name Garnet Silk was not just remembered. It was invoked. In schools, Garnet Silk became part of the curriculum, studied not only as a musician, but as a cultural voice of post-independence Jamaica. His interviews were dissected in media ethics courses, his lyrics interpreted in Rastafari theology discussions. His approach to fame, humble, spiritual, mission-driven, became a case study in artistic integrity. Meanwhile, Garnet Jr. continued to grow. He toured Europe, Africa, and North America, performing both his own songs and his father's anthems. At Reggae Sumfest and Rebel Salute, crowds sang along to Hello Mama Africa and Thank You Jah with tears in their eyes. It was no longer nostalgia. It was renewal. In one memorable moment at a Kingston tribute show, Garnet Jr. walked onto stage holding his father's Bible, the same one his father was said to have been holding before the fire. The crowd fell silent, and then he sang, not in his father's voice, but in his own. And yet, the room trembled. "This is not just for the past," he told the crowd. "This is for the ones coming after. The silk must continue." And it has. Today, Garnet Silk's legacy lives in vinyl crates and digital playlists, in murals on Kingston's walls, and the hearts of dreadlocked elders. But most of all, it lives in the silence between notes, in that sacred pause where spirit enters music. His life was short, his flame brief, but his voice, eternal. As the next generation of conscious reggae artists rise, the blueprint remains written in silk, a blueprint of truth, humility, and fire that no tragedy can erase. Echoes through time, global reverence, and the spiritual permanence of Garnet Silk. Decades after the fire, the name Garnet Silk continues to resonate far beyond the hills of Manchester, beyond the parishes of Jamaica, beyond the island itself. His voice, sealed in vinyl and memory, echoes through time like a prayer that refuses to fade. In the reggae capitals of the world, from London's Brixton to Ghana's Accra, from Brooklyn's Flatbush to Trinidad's Laventille, his songs still play, still inspire, still heal. To many, Garnet Silk is more than an artist. He is a spiritual frequency, a vibration of righteousness in a world of noise. His music carries something otherworldly, as if divinely downloaded and passed through his vocal cords to reach the broken, the lost, the hopeful. Across Africa, Garnet is revered not just as a Jamaican artist, but as a Pan-African messenger. In Ethiopia, where the Rastafari movement finds its sacred home, his voice is often played in gatherings as a form of invocation. His songs, filled with references to Jah, repatriation, and ancestral awakening, are sung like hymns. In Ghana and Nigeria, reggae revivalists mention Garnet in the same breath as Marley and Spear, naming him a post-colonial prophet. In Europe, where roots reggae continues to thrive among conscious circles, Garnet's music is central to every serious reggae collection. Sound system clashes still play his dubplates. Vinyl collectors trade original pressings of its growing like relics. In interviews with UK-based reggae historians, Garnet is often described as the heart of the roots revival. In the United States, particularly in the East Coast reggae scenes, Garnet Silk's legacy has become intergenerational. Immigrant families raise their children on his music, teaching them not just about melody, but about identity, about what it means to be Black, Caribbean, spiritual, and unshaken by Babylon's temptations. Even outside the reggae world, his voice has seeped into genres far removed from the sound of Kingston. Neo-soul artists, gospel musicians, and even hip-hop producers have sampled or drawn inspiration from Garnet's vocals, attracted by the unfiltered emotion, the balance of power and vulnerability. His is a voice that makes even the hardest man bow his head and remember he has a soul. Back in Jamaica, Garnet's absence still feels like a wound. Each year, tribute concerts are held in his honor, not with the glitz of mainstream award shows, but with reverence. Artists kneel before murals of his image. Elders pour libations. Dreadlocked children, born years after his passing, sing his songs with their eyes closed, as if remembering a life they never lived but somehow inherited. Documentaries have attempted to capture him, but few succeed fully. How do you film a spirit? How do you record a soul? Cultural critics say his greatest achievement wasn't his voice, it was his alignment. In a music industry too often warped by ego and excess, Garnett stood for purpose. His fame was an accident. His mission was divine. And that makes him rare. More than rare, eternal. Because what Garnett Silk left behind isn't just a discography. It's a standard. A North Star for what Caribbean music can be when it's powered by faith, fueled by roots, and aimed at the spirit. When you play his music now, you're not just listening. You're remembering. You're repatriating. You're healing. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess. He sang it. He believed it. And through his voice, generations will continue to hear it. Ashes to Anthem, how Garnett Silk became immortal. They say the flame that burns brightest is the one most often extinguished too soon. And yet, in the case of Garnett Silk, the flame did not die in that house on the hill. It transformed. It left behind no ashes, only anthems. More than a quarter century after his death, Garnett Silk's name is now etched into the eternal scroll of Caribbean history. Not just as a reggae artist, not just as a Rastafarian, but as a spiritual archetype, the voice of purity, of resistance, of unwavering love in a time that desperately needed it. Every island in the Caribbean knows that voice. From the calypso tents of Trinidad to the hills of Dominica, from Bajan roots festivals to Grenadian cultural centers, Garnett Silk's music is played not as a retro throwback, but as living scripture. Schoolchildren sing his songs during cultural day celebrations. Elders quote his lyrics in Sunday reasoning circles. His voice is woven into the collective Caribbean consciousness like the thread of an ancestral cloth. And still, that voice rises. When a mother prays for her child, it rises. When a man leaves Babylon to seek truth, it rises. When a youth questions the system and reaches for his roots, it rises. His impact is immortal because it was never limited to his lifetime. Garnett sang not for the moment, but for the movement. Not for applause, but for awakening. The very titles of his songs read now like chapters of a sacred text. Hello Mama Africa, the cry for reconnection with the motherland. Thank you Jah, the acknowledgement of divine survival. Kingly character, the reminder that dignity and righteousness are revolutionary. Place in your heart, the gospel of unconditional love. And what he left behind wasn't just melody, it was method. A roadmap for young artists seeking purpose in a world of profit. A call to return to truth, to ancestral memory, to a higher reason for singing. Today, AI algorithms recommend his tracks to new generations who've never heard of the fire. Yet when they press play, they feel something they can't explain. Something older than streaming, deeper than genre. A presence. That presence now lives on in tribute albums, in live sets where his a cappella intros bring crowds to tears, in vinyl scratches that still hold his breath. It lives in his son. In the voices of revivalists, in the poems and paintings of those moved by his journey. And it lives in the silence, that sacred hush that falls just after his final note. So how does Garnett Silk become immortal? Not by chasing fame, but by honoring truth. Not by avoiding pain, but by walking through it with grace. Not by surviving the fire, but by becoming the flame. Jamaica has given the world many prophets, Garvey, Marley, Bogle. And among them, Silk stands wrapped in reverence. He did not die. He rose. And every time his voice plays, he rises again.